Let's ask the Lord to be with us, guide us, help us. Dear Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. We come before you tonight with our hearts open to you, Lord, with our minds open to you, Lord, looking for your help. Looking for ears to hear, Lord, that can only come by you. Looking for eyes to see that can only come by you, Lord. Lord, we lift up our hearts to you, Lord, that you might fill our hearts with your words, Lord, with your spirit, filling us to overflowing, Lord, to exactly what we need right now, Lord. And what we need is you. So, Lord, you know that need. You know the portion that we need. You know exactly how to apply it, Lord. And so we're just saying, Lord, we are willing. We are here. We are here for you. We're here for you. Keep us in that attitude, Lord, that we're here for you. That we're here for your purposes. And only for your purposes. For you to work and to will in us as you see fit. For you to show us and to show us not only of yourself, Lord, but to feed us the hidden manna that we need, Lord. The substance, the real food that we need, Lord. So put a hunger in us, even now, Lord, put a hunger in us, a thirst in us. For you, for your word. And guide us. Each one, Lord. Each one that they might hear you, Lord. Hear what you're saying. And if necessary, to speak what it is you're saying. And thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy, for your compassion, for your patience. Thank you for being all that we need to be. Thank you for being everything that we need to be. That we need of you. That we need you to be. And bless you, Lord, because you are our strength. And more each day you're showing us that you are our strength. Yes, you can give us strength. But you are our strength, and that's where we want to be. And we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You're doing a work in us, Lord. You're doing a work in us. And you're starting to dig deeper. Deeper and deeper, Lord. And initially it seems hard. It seems foreign. It seems, whoa, what's going on? But quickly, Lord, you show us that it's necessary and that your love is with it and that your joy is with it and that you are our strength and you supply everything we need to go through, all that you bring us through, all that you present before us each and every day, Lord. And we thank you that you are faithful. You are faithful, 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 faithful. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So teach us, Lord. Show us, Lord. Lead, Lord. Lead us. Lead us to the cross. And help us to follow without turning to the left or to the right, but to follow you faithfully, truly. By your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. We'll just get right to it. Fight to the death. That's what the Lord gave me. Fight to the death. Fight to the death. And we know that you've heard those terms associated with gladiators. They fight to the death. The one that's left alive is the winner. A lot of times animals fight to the death. Usually the death comes through the one that's being pursued by the predator, but it's still a fight to the death. But God wants us to fight to the death. When he gave that to me, I said, Lord, okay. What do you mean? What do you mean by that? What are you trying to say, Lord? And we've talked about death. We talked about it this morning. We've talked about it many, many times. And particularly, you know, God is bringing that to mind, bringing that to the forefront in us more and more, that death is significant. We're not talking about physical death. So we just get that out of the way. We're not talking about physical death. When God is saying to us, fight to the death, with an exclamation point, he's given a command. Fight to the death. Now, if you're like me, even though I've been in the military and played, you know, cowboys and Indians and shoot 'em up, you know, bank robber, and loved to watch the Muhammad Ali boxing matches, and you know, back in the 70s, and all of those things. And I love watching the you know, a story or a movie where the guy comes in and beats up on the bad guy. But in truth, in reality, as far as it has to do with me, I'm a coward. I would rather run than fight. I would rather run than fight. And it's in my personality. It's how I was born. And the Lord is showing me that even in my walk with him, I run. I don't stand and fight. I need to qualify that. I do fight. But it's usually my Adamic nature fighting against what God wants. So I do that kind of fighting very well. And the Lord is helping me to stand down to not fight against him. Not, what is that? I think it's in the King James where he kick against the goads. Not even sure what that means. But I know it has something to do with stop fighting against God. So I do fight against God. I'm not looking for death. I'm looking for life, my Adamic life, my comforts, my what I want. I'm trying to fight to win. So I need to qualify that. I need to qualify that. But in the general sense, in terms of what God wants and what God is saying here, fight to the death, I'm a coward. I'm a coward. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. It's too hard. I might not win. I might lose my life. I don't like this fight to the death. But God is calling us, each one of us, to fight to the death. And as I mentioned, the gladiators. A gladiator went in against his opponent, or circumstances, depending on what they had going on, knowing that he had to kill the other person or the other animal or whatever to win, to live. And so they went in, not, you know, oh, let's kind of dance around. You know, he went in, hey, you're dead, dude, and I'm doing everything in my power to kill you. That's the kind of fight that God wants us to fight. A fight to the death. A fight to the death. And anything less than that, anything less than that, is disobedience. Anything less than that will not fulfill that command that God has called us to fight to the death. It will put us in the category, as I already mentioned, of the timid. And we know what the result or what the destiny is for the timid or for the coward in God's kingdom. And what is that? What's the destiny of the coward in God's kingdom? Of the timid in God's kingdom?
Lake of fire.
Lake of fire. Lake of fire. God does not want timid people. God does not want cowards. God does not want those, as Jesus said, don't shrink back once you put your hand to the plow. Don't shrink back, as it says, I believe it's in Hebrews. Don't shrink back from the calling that God has given to you, that God has called you to. Don't shrink back. It's the same as being timid. It's the same as being a coward. And God is saying this for our benefit. God is saying this because he loves us, because he doesn't like the timid or the behavior of timidity, of cowardice, because it causes us to shrink back from the things that God has called us to. That's why he says you have to fight to the death, to the death. Now, I said this death is not physical death. So what is this death that we are to fight to? What is this death that God is saying that we have to fight, that he's commanding us, his beloved, to do? What is that death that he's commanding us to fight to? To fight to the death. What is that death? If you don't know what it is, how are you going to fight to it? Don't smile at me, Sandy. If you don't know what it is, it's just like in the military. If you don't know what the objective is, you're going to miss it every time. You might get lucky and stumble upon it, but even when you stumble upon it, you're not going to know what to do with it. What is the death that we are to fight to?
Do you have a specific verse in
mind? Do I have a specific verse in mind? Not a specific one. I've got...
I'm thinking of a few verses, but I'm not sure which one.
I'm not thinking of a particular verse, no. Sir Benny?
Is the death caused by sin?
That's what we're to fight to? The death caused by sin? What do you mean?
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what you're thinking? What do you... Okay, explain yourself.
When we sin, we die.
Okay, and we're to fight to that?
You have to overcome sin.
That's okay, that's overcoming, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Sandy?
Put to death the sinful nature.
Okay, yeah. Put to death the sinful nature. Put to death the misdeeds that are within us, like Romans 8:13. Is it 13 or 14? 13. That says you're led by the Spirit to put to death the misdeeds, the deeds of the body, right? And it's referring to the sin, the sinful nature, right? We're being led to put to death. So that fight to the death, yes, is to the death of first Adam, the death of the sinful nature, the death of this body, to fight to the death. Now, is it a fight to put to death the misdeeds of this body? Is that a fight, Sandy?
You think it's a fight? But also, when you have to put to death fight, you're sometimes you have to put to death your desires and your permissions and things that you want to do, but
okay. Yes. Very good. Yeah. And when you say you have to fight these desires, what do you mean to fight?
It's a fight to me if you want it badly and you have to let go of it. Sometimes it's a fight. Sometimes you just let it go or put it off. But sometimes it's a fight.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes it's definitely a fight. definitely fight. You want something so bad, but you know that's not where God is leading you. God is letting you, wanting you to do, and it's a fight whether I'm going to give in to my desire or obey God, obey the Spirit. And it's a fight. It's a fight, definitely. And it's a fight to the death, right? Because this desire that you're struggling with, at least the desire for that desire, has to die, right? It has to die. Because one, there's going to be death somewhere, right? You're going to either put to death that desire for the desire, or if you disobey God, disobey the Spirit, then what does that lead to? Death as well, right? Yeah. So the fight is there. The fight is there. And it is a fight. Yes, Andy?
One of the deaths leads to life.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there. Amen. Amen. But this thing, again, if you're like me, this thing is that God has been, and this is not something that God has been working on me, you know, in the last week. This is what God has been working on me in the last few years. As he's come to me and shown me why I was afraid to totally give myself to him, to totally say, Lord, okay, whatever it is you want, I'm doing. I had this fear in me. That no, I didn't trust God. And that's a fight as well, in terms of fighting to be able to believe God, to have faith in God. Doesn't Paul talk about the good fight of faith? The good fight of faith? The fight? The fight? Like, wait a minute. I have to fight? I thought, you know, we had faith, we believed in God, and that was it. No, there's a fight to keep that faith, right? Because we can get discouraged. We can lose faith. We can doubt God. We can even not just doubt God, but believe lies about God from our own self. And it's a fight to overcome those things, to overcome them, to overcome it. It's a fight. Yeah, overcoming is a fight, right? You don't overcome something by speaking nicely to it. Oh, come on, you want to do what I want you to do, you know. This pastor likes to use the term of a dog on the bed, right, that you want to get off the bed. You say, you know, hey, sweetie, get off the bed now. And all the dogs looks at you and just wags his tail, right? But if you say, get off that bed now, boom, down they go. And God is saying, he wants to put that kind of fight in us to fight to the death, to fight to the death. So we're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to fight. We're to it talks about in a few places about holding fast, fight to hold fast. Well, let's look at a couple here. Let's look at Revelation 2, verse 13. Holding fast. Now, this is NIV. It may not say hold fast, but King James says hold fast. But, says, as he's talking to one of the churches, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true or hold fast to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. You remained true to my name. You did not renounce. You held fast to my name. The holding fast implies what? You held fast to my name. It implies what? What's the opposite of holding fast?
Giving up.
Yes, giving up. Giving up. How many times have we sometimes given up? We've not held fast. We've not fought to hold to his name. Okay, you got the King James up there. even where Satan's seat is, and thou heldest fast my name, and has not denied my faith. Denied my faith. Has not denied my faith. Again, having not denied my faith, what is the implication that Jesus is saying for these people? They didn't deny the faith. Did not deny his faith. Jesus' faith. The implication, again, not just giving up, but what's possibly going on that might cause them to deny their faith or deny the faith of Jesus. What's there, Benny? Louder, Benny. What kind of fighting? Sandy. Okay, for death, yeah, physical death or imprisonment maybe, or something that would, you know, cause the Adamic nature to say, whoa, let's think twice about this faith business. Okay, yeah, something that would cause them to deny themselves. Bill?
Testing of their faith,
circumstances, things, yes, definitely. Did not deny my faith. And it's interesting, it says my faith. Jesus is speaking here. He says, my faith. To me, it would sound like it would be more proper for him to say, you didn't deny your faith. But he says, you didn't deny my faith. What do you think is significant about that? But you did not deny my faith, Jesus says. Any idea? Why does Jesus say my faith? You didn't deny my faith, Jesus says. As opposed to you didn't deny your faith.
Well, you didn't have faith if you denied it.
Yeah. That's true.
It's the same faith that he has given you.
Okay. Same faith he's given us. Yeah. Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay, the teacher's not looking for a specific answer, okay? So, and the two answers so far are good. Yeah. Yeah, the faith he's given us, his faith. Right?
He is faith.
He is.
In other words, it's not some tangible thing he gives. He is faith.
Okay.
We come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's part of his fullness.
And his faith is, what is his faith?
It's in the Father.
Yeah, it's in the Father, exactly. It's in the Father. And he came back, his ministry was to come back and do what? Come back, come to the earth to do what? To do something.
To do the will of the Father.
Do what?
To do the will of the Father.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you got that right. He said his ministry was a ministry of reconciliation. What was that ministry of reconciliation? To the Father. Yeah, to the Father. Because that's where his faith is in the Father. Yes, Bill.
It occurred to me that he might be saying, the faith that I give you, therefore, it's my faith.
That too?
We're commanded to ask for faith. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's not to create it ourselves, it's to get more of what he gives.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's a fight to get that, right? I mean, yes, Jesus, God does give us faith. When the Egyptians were led out of Egypt, did they have to fight their way out?
The Israelites,
did they have to fight their way out of Egypt? No. They did not. They didn't have to fight their way out. God provided everything. So when we come to Christ, when we come, he gives us some faith to believe. And when I came to Christ, sitting there in my living room, God the Father showed up and took some scales off my eyes and showed me. He provided the faith right off the bat for me to believe in his Son. I didn't gin it up. I didn't find it. I had no capability of finding that faith. Sandy?
I bet it took some faith to walk through the parted sea thinking,
sure.
Crashed down on me.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, there was definitely testings of faith from there. But as far as that initial coming out from the world, coming out from Egypt, hey, here it was, door was open, come. Just follow Moses and you're on your way out. But yes, there was testing after that of faith in God, which the Israelites didn't do too well at for a lot of time. But it was a fight. It was a fight. They in a sense, they fought the world, right? Egypt is symbolic of the world. Initially, the world said, get out of here. We don't want you. But then the world said, wait a minute. And again, I'm using the symbology of Egypt. Then the world said, wait a minute. No, I want you back. come on back. Hey, I miss you. And what's that? Is it ready? Oh, I was just kidding. Yeah, I was just kidding. Come on back. And then the fight starts. Are we going to go back into the world? And if you're like me, you stumble back into the world. You kind of come, you come back. You kind of act like the Israelites. Wait a minute. It was better. It was better when I was a sinner than now, you know. I even had a point that... Again, not necessarily going to the world, back to the world per se, or desire, but as the Lord began to open my eyes to the scripture and to him and to the gospel of the kingdom, the true gospel of the kingdom, and he's showing all this revelation, and I'm like, woo, this is nice, this is wonderful, wow, look at it, God's showing, opening these scriptures up to me, and this is wonderful, and I'm trying to share it with the other staff that, you know, where I was working up in Oregon, and they were like looking at you like, what? What are you? And I'm like, Lord, what's wrong with these people? You know? And the Lord said, stop. Stop. I'm not showing them what I'm showing you. Doesn't mean you're better than them. I'm not showing you what I'm showing. I'm not showing them what I'm showing you. So they don't understand it. So stop sharing unless I tell you to share something. But the Lord went further because, you know, I still kind of had this little, you know, well, you know, God loves me more. I have to admit. But then the Lord began to show me as he's showing this stuff. And I was talking with my coworker who God was doing the same thing with him. And we were talking and all of a sudden revelation came that verse that says, to whom much is given, much is required. And I knew exactly what the Lord meant. He said, I'm not just giving all this stuff for you to have a wonderful time in the Word. And that, and yes, that's there. But there's a purpose behind it. I'm going somewhere with this. And, of course, the thing that struck me was the accountability part. And I said, oh. And as I was talking to my friend Wade, I said, you know, I'm not so sure I want this anymore. I'm not so sure I want this anymore. And there was a fight there. It may not have been a, you know, knockdown drag out that you could see, but there was a fight in my spirit. There was a fight because I was saying, wait a minute, Lord. I'm not sure if I want to go to continue this route because you've got some things that you are going to be expecting of me. And,
fighting for his faith.
I was, yeah, in that sense, I was, because it was a fight, because God, I could have decided that, hey, you know, I just want to be a regular church goer, you know, so I can go to church, you know, say my prayers, and then go do my own thing, you know, and still be a Christian. And I know the Lord was calling me higher, calling me deeper. That's what he was saying. And I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision that, you know, and again, during that situation, I didn't say, okay, Lord, I will follow you. You know, it wasn't that demonstrative, but it caused me to think and ponder and to go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what does that mean for me? What is it? I don't want to disobey you. I mean, it was a period of time of, of working that out with the Lord after he showed me that there's accountability there. So in that sense, there was a fight of coming to that decision and say, Lord, I'm going your way. I'm going your way. Keep giving me what you want to give me, and help me to understand, and help me to have the grace to walk the way you want me to walk as you give that to me. And keep me from pride. I did definitely say, because I could recognize already, or the Lord showed me in myself, the pride that was there in the knowledge that he was giving me. So it was a fight. So a fight doesn't necessarily mean that there's some huge, you know, struggle like Jesus in Gethsemane. I mean, that was a fight. He had to fight, didn't he? He had to fight to the death, didn't he? Yeah. He had to fight to the death. And what was the death that he had to fight to, if you will, in terms of this phrase that God has given us, to fight to the death? What was the death that he had to fight to? He had to fight to a death, Sandy.
Not his will, but ours.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to do it. He did not want to go there.
Yeah.
And he had to fight. Yes, sir?
You said, let this cup pass from me.
Yeah. He said, Father, you know all things. You're all powerful. If any way possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Yeah, there was a fight. A fight to the death. A fight to the death. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to resist Satan, right? We're to resist him. Now, when you resist something, is there a fight involved? In terms of what we're talking about here, is there a fight? Yeah, there's a fight. Because you got to resist. You got to apply some, if you will, in terms of the physical, you got to apply some muscle here to resist. Or if you're talking about something in terms of mental or emotional thing, you've got to resist, you know, I'm not going to think about that, or I'm not going to, you know, doesn't the scripture tell us to take every thought captive? Every thought captive. It's a fight. That's right, Sir Benny. It's a fight. It's a fight to take it captive. And I can tell you, it is a fight, because there's so many thoughts that come to me a lot of times. And a lot of times I'm just like, you know, oh, just, you know, Mr. Simpleton, you know, just, oh yeah, that's an interesting thought. Yeah, you know, just letting it all, you know, bounce around in my head for a while. The Holy Spirit comes and says, what are you doing? You know, it's interesting too, that word simpleton in the Bible, used in Proverbs, you know what that means? It doesn't mean someone who's autistic. It doesn't mean that. It means it means someone who is prone to mischief or doing evil things, prone to mischief or evil. That's what simpleton means when it's used in the Proverbs, where it's used there. And so when I say, sometimes I act just like a simpleton when a thought comes into my mind and I just let it rattle around, I'm acting like a simpleton in a sense, because there's the potential to act out on that thought. And you have to take it captive. You have to take it captive. And again, it's a fight. When two countries, two armies are battling each other, a lot of times they take captives, don't they? But they have to fight to get those captives, right? They don't just say, hey, come on, you guys want to be prisoners of ours, prisoners of war, just come on, you know, come on down. Sometimes they do. They say, hey, you know, before the fighting starts, let's save yourself some trouble and just turn yourself, you know, surrender, you know. But it's a fight. We have to take our thoughts captive. We have to fight to the death to resist Satan. So when, Bill, yeah.
I've just been thinking about that word captive as you've been talking, and I know when I think about taking thoughts captive, my experience has been just pushing the thought out,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But it occurred to me when we take, in war, when we take an enemy captive, we don't push it out and send it back across enemy lines. We arrest it, we bind it, we disarm it, we render its ability to make war ineffective. And that implies a whole lot more. So that the idea is that your captive could be right there, sitting right next to you, and it can't war against you or can't harm you. So, I don't know, it's an intriguing thought. I don't know how we would do that, like when you're under temptation. But until the feet's probably the best way to mentally deal with thoughts that you can't handle. But it's an exciting thought that we could entertain thoughts and they have no power for us.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. It gets disarmed. And I think that's what the Lord means by taking every thought captive. Yeah, Sandy?
Well, sometimes people get depressed, you know, and then they just don't want to live anymore. And they have faith, not listen to that thought and take it captive. You know, they can't ignore it and say, oh, this isn't here, you know, or just, oh, yeah, I can. You know, they have to do like Bill said, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And in that fighting, who, you know, especially somebody that's depressed, it's hard. I mean, if you're depressed, you're depressed, and it's hard to get out of that. So what do we need to fight that, to take that thought captive?
You need his faith.
Yeah, you need his faith. You need his faith. You need the Spirit. You need all the things that God gives us to be able to fight that, to take that thought captive. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when we resist Satan, what happens?
He flees.
Yeah. He flees when we resist Satan.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Coming back.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yes.
In that sense.
But yeah, for that particular incident or instance, when you resist Satan, he flees, according to what Scripture says. Yes. And again, do we? Yeah. Okay. And are we to resist temptation as well? Let me put it another way. Are we to fight against temptation as well? When the Scripture says there is no temptation that has come upon us that's not common to man, in other words, everybody gets tempted with stuff, what does it say? I think it's 1 Corinthians, I believe, 10:13. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Yes, that's true, Sandy. Yes, he gives us a way out. But so we stand up under it. Okay. So no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. Interesting that particular phrase is in there, okay? God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So doesn't say that God is fighting on our side. Yes, on our side in this sense of temptation, sin. God is fighting on our side. God is with us to help us. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So God is in this. He's faithful to not let us to be tempted. Even something we think, there's no way I can resist this. This Scripture says, wait a minute. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. God is faithful. Because if we get tempted beyond tempted beyond what we can bear, what does that say about God? In terms of the Scripture, what does that say about God?
He's not faithful.
Yeah, he's not faithful. But God is faithful. But when you are tempted, he also provides a way out so that you can stand up under it or endure it. Okay. This kind of gets back to the captive thing. captive thought. Did, in this scripture, did God say he took the temptation away? No. What did he do with it? What did he allow, or what did he... Provides a way out, okay. So that you may endure or stand up under it. Is there another place in scripture that talks about the importance of standing? Yes. What is that, Ron?
Put on the armor of God and stand.
It tells us three times in that passage about the armor of God. So that you may stand. That you may stand. That you may stand. So what's one of the ways... I say one of the ways. What's one of the ways that God provides a way of escape? That we may stand under, endure the temptation?
Armor of God.
What? Say it again, Sir Benny?
Benny was saying the armor of God.
Oh, okay, armor of God. So one of the ways that God... helps us in this fight to resist temptation, to endure it, is the armor of God that he provides, right? Any other ways of escape? Let me give you a hint. Psalm 91.
If you abide under his wings.
If we abide under his wings, okay. What's the first verse say, though? No. The first verse.
He
who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Okay? That could be the strong tower. That could be, okay? He's a shield and a bulwark around us, right? Those who fear the Lord, his angel encamps about them, right? So that's another way that God provides a way of escape, right? Okay? Yeah, Sandy.
I just had a question.
Sure.
I don't know if you know this or not, or if you've heard, but when it says stand, is it like standing at ease, or what?
I see it in the context of the armor of God, I see it as a defense. So it's not at ease in that sense. It's not, you know, hey, yeah, we're okay. We just, you know, kind of lean up here against the wall. And no, it's a stand. It's like, you know, you plant your feet and
no, that is like an army.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but no, that's again, that's at ease. At ease is with your hands behind your back. You know, you stand and you're basically relaxed and you're not really thinking about anything. You're not alert, you know, in that sense or whatever, in the sense of a battle. You wouldn't stand at ease in a battle or in a potential battle, but you would stand in a defense with your shield, with your armor on, with or even in a strong tower, you would stand in a sense ready for the enemy to do their thing and. You would stand. You would stand firm. It's a defensive, active, alert, ready to. Basically, a defense is a fighting against the enemy. Okay, fighting against the enemy doesn't necessarily mean offensive. If you're defending against the onslaught of the enemy, you're fighting against them. You're standing. You're defending your castle or your position or.
But once you've gotten there.
When you say gotten there.
Once you've stood up under it, it's done. You had your way out and, you know, God gave you a way out and it was done and you made it through.
Oh, okay. Once it's done, the temptation is done. You've made it through. God's brought you through to victory. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. In that, is there enough?
I guess if you're standing up under it, then it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like you said, not
yeah. Yet. Yeah. Yeah. To endure it. So that means it's still there. That means we're taking it captive. We're in our defense. We're standing against whatever it is that the temptation is, whether it's anything, you know, lusts or the arrows of the enemy coming at us or lies coming, you know, at us. Whatever it is, we're standing. It's an active thing where we know there's an enemy there. We know it's attacking us. They're attacking and we're standing. We're, we will not be moved, as the scripture says. We will not be moved. And that not being moved means, can mean as well, in terms of getting, you know, the thoughts or the slander or the, whatever the persecution may be, if it's persecution or whatever, there's a temptation to, you know, shrink back. There's a temptation to, disobey God or something like that. It's a active defense, if you will, of standing.
And there's a scripture that says, I said the Lord always before me, he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And even Psalm 91, right? Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And then, it, of course, you know, standing in the shadow of the shadow of the Almighty, all of that, and then it lists all these quote unquote benefits, if you will, of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Bill?
So, given the topic of fighting, and that there's no temptation taken what's common, that God will provide, he's faithful, he'll provide a way of escape that we can stand, but how does God view it then when we succumb to the temptation?
What do you think? If you succumb to the temptation, what have you done?
You have lost.
You've been overcome. You've lost. What'd you say, Sandy?
You had little faith.
You may have had a little faith, okay. But let's bring it down to...
You sinned.
You sinned. You sinned. You sinned. If you give in to the, get overcome by, give in to the temptation, you sinned. Right? Yeah, Bill?
In the context of fighting and warring, I think we need to accept that there's going to be some failures within this context. And how God views that and how we view our failure will have an impact on whether we get back up and try again.
Yes.
So in that sense, if God's training us, we have to know he's faithful. We have to know that the temptation can be surmounted because he's for us, he's not against us. But when we find that the temptation wins, that just means we have more fighting to do, and we have to employ faith that says, I will eventually succeed if I don't quit.
Most definitely. Most definitely. David says, the Lord teaches my hands to war. Okay. As any teacher knows, you don't get a student, okay? You get them, you know, fresh off the block or however you want to say it, and then say, okay, let's go to war. There's a thing called war, and you have weapons, and you're supposed to use them, and there's an enemy that comes against you. All right. Good. You got it? Let's go. Let's go. Right? Now, you would, if you were on the outside looking in at this situation, you would probably say, what? What, Minnie? You go home? You go home? You probably should. Well, there'd be two things. One, the student's in for it. He's not going to be able to do it. And then two, the teacher's no good. You know? Yes, the teacher knows, one, you got to start, you know, give them the basics, the concepts. Okay, here's a weapon. There's a thing called battle. There's a thing called war. There's a thing called fighting. There's, you know, all these things. You as a Christian, we as a Christian, right? We didn't come into Jesus. I didn't come in to receive Jesus knowing that I got a big war ahead of me. All I knew was that, woo, Jesus. Jesus, you know, that's all I knew. And it was over time, over that I began to, you know, this thing about fight the good fight of faith. And I'm like, oh, that sounds nice. had no idea what it meant, you know. Oh, we read, you know, David saying, you know, he teaches my hands to war. Say, oh yeah, he's a fighter. He was a general. He was, yeah, of course he's going to teach him how to fight, you know. And then I would read something like, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I'm like, what? What's that mean? you know, and all these things about fighting and struggle and so forth that we read all the time. I read all as a young Christian and everything. It was like, yeah, woo, nice, sounds nice, great. But had no clue. Well, over time, God began teaching, right? God began teaching and showing us. You know, if he'd have showed us right off the bat, like I said, after I received Christ, I probably would have run. Gone home, as Sir Benny said. I would have gone home and said, oh, no, 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 no. But over time, he is teaching us to war. He's teaching us to fight to the death. Okay. We know we have to fight to the death. We know it's a command of God to fight to the death. And we know the death is death to Adam, death to the sinful nature, death to anything that is not of God, death to the image of Satan, the works of Satan. Okay, so we fight to the death. Is that it? We kill the enemy. Boom, he's dead, he's lying, bleeding, done. Is that it? Sir Benny shakes his head. So what else is there, Sir Benny? You just got a dead enemy there? That's it? Walk away, done, victory, go home. What's else? What else is there? He's got relatives. Okay. All right, let's assume you got the relatives too, okay? You got everybody. When God commands us to fight to the death, what is his purpose? What is the goal that God has besides the death of the enemy, the death of first Adam, the death of the image of Satan?
He's looking for a house.
Yes, he's definitely looking for a house. And you kind of got up into, you know, what do you call those courses, those AP courses way up there. He's looking for a house, definitely. But let's get it down to the individual. What's he looking for? What is he wanting us to get out of this death, to when we fight to the death and we overcome the enemy? What do we get? We get anything? Metal? Nice little metal we can pin on ourselves? Okay. All right, let's get Ron.
Get a crown of life.
Okay, you get a crown of life? Okay. We get rest. What kind of rest? Like, you know, I'm so tired of swinging my sword, or what kind of rest?
Rest from God. God's dealing with us during our fight. God will get rest.
Okay, so we're talking about the rest of God that is talked about in Hebrews, okay? The rest of God, we get that kind of rest, okay? All right, Sandy?
I was going to say life.
Life? What kind of life? What kind of life? We got life now. We got, you know, heartbeats, you know, blood pump. What kind of life?
Eternal life.
Yes! Eternal life. Eternal life. Definitely, yeah. Bill? Okay, what she said. Eternal life. Exactly. Now, remember when we talked about here some weeks ago? Genesis 15:1. Genesis 15:1. We talk about these things, eternal life. Yes, we talk about crown of life. We talk about being in the image of Jesus, image of God. But there's one thing that God told Abraham. God told Abraham something. It says, after this word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, God said, don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Okay, he's my shield, Psalm 91. He's my shield. He's my buckler. Your very great reward. God has said, I am your reward.
Got it.
I am your reward. So when we fight to the death, faithfully, trusting in God, in our training. Yes, we stumble, but God trains us. He keeps us. As long as we keep getting back up to look to the Lord, He trains us. And He says, I am your very great reward. That's ultimately what God is looking for us, or providing for us, if you will, Himself. As the scripture says, that God is my salvation. Not that it also says God provides my salvation, but it says God is my salvation. And understanding what salvation means, right? Salvation is going from the image and works of Satan into the image of God, being saved from our Adamic nature, if you will. So He is our reward. So that's another thing. In peace, joy, and love. An inheritance. An inheritance. A lot of times, especially back in Old Testament days, when armies fought and they defeated a kingdom, what did they do? They looted them, didn't they? They took their treasure, they took their people, they took everything.
Their livestock,
everything, They got the spoils, right? And even God's word says, to the strong go the spoils. To the strong go the spoils. Again, implying there's a fight. And if you fight successfully, if you fight to the death and win, you will get the spoils. And what are the spoils in God's economy? We've already named some of them. Crown of life, eternal life. What else? What's the inheritance that we get? Sandy?
The nations.
The saved nations. The saved nations of the earth. What did God tell the Son in Psalm 2? It says, I give you the nations and the earth and the uttermost parts of the earth. All creation. We are co-heirs with Christ. If we fight to the death. So, yes, there's a wonderful reward. It's worth it, as we learned today, this morning. It's worth it. And God is showing us it's worth it to fight to the death. And I'm learning, as the Lord is showing me and giving me strength and giving me His joy and giving me wisdom, His love, His mercy, I am learning to fight to the death. And yes, as Bill already mentioned, yeah, I stumble. I fail. And I swing that sword, I miss, and the enemy gets me in the side or whatever, but I don't give up. And that's the Lord helping me not give up, to continue on, to continue the fight, the good fight of faith, the fight to the death. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for that command to fight to the death. Beginning to show us and showing us what it means, Lord. Now you've shown us with the words that have been spoken tonight. But now, Lord, we need you to show us where the rubber meets the road. And you're already showing this to us, Lord. You're confirming some things that have been going on that you've been doing in our lives already. And I think you're showing us these things to say, okay, it's going to get a little more intense. But it's not to be something we're afraid of. The Lord said, do not be afraid. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. I'm your shield and a buckler about you. I have a strong tower where you can run into it and be safe. I've made provision to protect you. I've made provision to provide for you protection against the enemy so that you may stand, fight to the death. Fight to the death. And like in any war, in any army, there's a leader, there's a commander whom we follow. And Lord Jesus, you are that commander. You are that great warrior whom we follow, led by the Spirit, to fight to the death. So Lord, help us to be faithful, not to shrink back, Give us your courage, Lord. Your courage. So that we may stand. That we may be able to fight the good fight of faith. Thank you, Lord. And give us joy, Lord. Give us joy. And you're showing more and more. You're showing me more and more of that, Lord. That in this fight, we don't have to fight it in some sour, dour, despairing way. We can have joy. Just like you did, Lord. In enduring the cross, you had joy, which helped you endure the cross. So give us joy, Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Give us joy in this fight. This fight to the death. That we may be more than conquerors. More than just killing the enemy. But that we may gain eternal life. The crown of life. Most importantly, that we may gain you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. You are faithful. You are faithful, ever, ever faithful. And Lord, make us faithful as well. In Jesus' name, amen.